Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are pleased, as always, to be joined on the line every Monday and Friday by one of the most plugged-in men in the business. He's Daily Faceoff's Frank Saravalli for Horse Racing Alberta. Racing returns on May the 4th at Century Mile Racetrack and Casino. For more information, visit thehorses.com. Hello, Frank. How are you?
Bob, I'm good. They make you work on the break here?
I choose to work because I love what I do. How's that?
Yeah, that's fair.
Is that fair?
I mean, I would make fun of you, but I actually believe that's true.
No, like, I mean, I like... I will tell you, I can't tell you how stoked I was that the Oilers got the 4-1 victory on Saturday, made it 16 straight games. This is pretty special what we're witnessing, isn't it?
It's borderline historic. I mean, it's defies words, really, and logic to think that, you know, we're dating back not just into a different year, but a different, you know, you're talking a span of two separate months now into February with a chance to not just go up against the Golden Knights on the other side of the break for, you know, to tie the record, but more than that, you know, you're inching close to home ice in the first round now, which is, I don't know that anyone really thought that was possible, let alone at this early juncture of the season.
Well, I read the numbers earlier, Frank. On the entire season at the All-Star break, Edmonton is 8th in wins, 7th in points percentage, 4th in goals for, 8th in goals against, 4th on the power play, 5th on the PK, 3rd shots for, 3rd shots against, 7th in faceoffs, and number 1 in the league in expected goals for 5v5. When you're top 8 in all...
Is that good?
That includes a team that started the year 3-9-1. That includes those games. Are they good? Does that prove they're good?
Crazy. I was blown away. I did a deeper dive today on our show Daily Faceoff Live on the Oilers penalty kill, and we actually had John Goyens break down some video for us. And to think that the Oilers PK, just for one facet of their game, was 30th in the league for a huge stretch of this season.
Yeah.
To now, since then, be first, it's kind of mind-numbing to think about how big of a change that is and really how much that's contributed to this 16-game streak, too. Like, it's one thing for everyone else to heat up. Stuart Skinner plays well, and obviously that helps the penalty kill save percentage. You know, your offense gets going, they feel confident, everyone's defending better, but even when things could go wrong on the penalty kill, it hasn't. And the PK has been a huge part of where they're at.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, what can you say? I mean, you mentioned they were 30th. They had 23 sets of forwards kill penalties in the first 13 games. And they've
since December 20th, 94% and first in the league.
Yeah. Well, they're first in the league under Knobloch in the 32 games that he's coached. They lead the league.
Before the coaching change, they were 30th at 70%.
And now they're first since the coaching change has been made.
Did you tell me the other day that their special teams are at a combined 120%?
Under Knobloch, yes.
Most teams, as an FYI, are thrilled to get to 105.
Well, the Oilers are so again,
over the moon.
The Oilers, the combination to this point in the season, 27.1% on the power play, 83% on the PK. So they're at 110, which, I mean, that's almost optimal. Knobloch's at 120. That's not going to, well, you know what? I say it's not going to continue. But the power play had room to grow, and it grew over the last five games. It went 6-for-12.
They may never lose again.
Well, it's going to be a fun one for sure. We actually just had head coach Craig McTavish on the show, and we talked a bit about the situation involving the Calgary Flames. How important are the Calgary Flames to this year's trade deadline, Frank Saravalli?
if you took the Calgary Flames players off of my trade targets board, I'm not entirely sure how much of a market we have. I mean, it gets thin in a hurry this year, and there's probably a couple more names to trickle out. Today we're 40 days out.
Yep.
So there's still a couple teams that, you know, I'm sure the St. Louis Blues have some tough decisions to make with their defensemen. And, you know, what do the Pittsburgh Penguins do with Jake Guentzel? And how about some of these other teams? If the Seattle Kraken fall out of it, do they get aggressive with a couple of their players, especially some of them that have term? I mean, they're all interesting questions to ask, but it goes to show you that for the most part, all of the really significant pieces on basically any team around the league, they're more or less locked up. And you're really kind of grasping at straws when it comes to the deadline outside of a select few real big difference makers. And that's why I'm really curious to see when you look at the West, and we've talked before about how 7 of the 8 teams that are going to make it, I mean, and say what you want about the LA Kings at this exact moment in time,
but they're in.
But as a side note, I would say what the Kings are going through right now is not all that different than what the Oilers experienced to start the year. And you're dealing with 7 really good teams, including, you know, a couple of them, 3 of them at least, that are going to lose in the first round and be really unhappy. So how aggressive will those teams be? You know, I expect the Oilers to be very aggressive, but if you're Dallas or if you are Vegas coming off of your cup win, or Colorado, you know, they want to get back there. Considering that if someone else takes one of the pieces that you're after, you're probably not looking at difference makers. I think we could see some teams just not enter silly season and go with what they have.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by Purina and their certified therapy dogs, like Hanley. Say hi, Hanley! Hanley is one of 30 therapy dogs Purina has helped get certified to support kids struggling with their mental health. Purina employees are volunteering their time and family pets like Hanley to help make pet therapy more accessible to patients, students, and kids like me. Learn more about Purina's pet therapy program at purina.com/mentalhealth.
So I believe Elias Lindholm is the belle of the ball for the forwards out there. Now, I'm partial to a right shot center because the Oilers have McDavid, Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins that are left shots, and now McLeod. I mean, McLeod's a legitimate top 9 player at this stage in his career. So they got.
I'm going to combat you on that, by the way.
On what? You don't think he's a legitimate top 9 player yet?
No. You said Lindholm is the belle of the ball.
Amongst the forwards. For me.
Let's see what happens with Jake Guentzel.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair, because Guentzel's a better pure goal scorer. But what position does Lindholm play?
It's a premium position, but the thing is, he's a top-end number 2 center, not a 1.
So what is...
Jake Guentzel is a legitimate first-line winger, an elite at that.
Fair comment. What would the ask be from Pittsburgh for Guentzel?
Oh, it would have to be really significant, because consider also where they're at. And that's the other part of this. Like, if they are in the mix to make it, he's probably not available at all. It's not going to be one of those situations where it's like, oh, can you tempt me? They've invested so much in the current roster that they have, including already this year's first round pick to get Erik Karlsson, which I said at the time, not to pat myself on the back, that's not what they needed in order to get in the mix this year. And it's kind of getting late early. Like, they may be a playoff team, but does anyone really consider them a threat? But given what they've invested in the group, the contracts for Malkin, the contract for Letang, they've got a ton on the line to really try and squeak in and see if they can make some magic happen. And that leaves them between a rock and a hard place with Gensel. He's either he's the guy that helps kickstart this rebuild, or he's the guy that you sort of, you know, hope and wish and pray you keep, and somehow you can do some damage before he ends up walking in the offseason.
So we're not sure he's going to get traded.
Not yet.
Are we pretty sure Lindholm's getting traded?
Very sure.
What's the ask?
It has to be a first-round pick plus multiple pieces, I would think. And my guess is the Calgary Flames would like to get some kind of ready-made roster piece, or at least a prospect that's close to NHL ready, as part of the package. That the more pieces Calgary can get their hands on that are closer rather than 5 years away, like, you still need some of those too, but they're hoping to be and planning to be in a different position 2 to 3 years from now. This is not a tear it down to the studs rebuild. So they've got to get some pieces in the here and now that can help them.
Yeah. Is it out of the realm of possibility that they would contemplate taking a left shot defenseman back and flipping Hanifin out as well?
No, not out of the realm of possibility. Are you referencing a former player that was originally property of the Flames?
Who would that be?
Brett Kulak?
Well, I mean, it would have to be, I mean, he's a ready-made player. He steps in and plays. He's played in Calgary before. Obviously, the Oilers would be giving up at least one number one in that. That's a given. I'm looking at it like, you know, what could they get if they moved?
Would the Flames deal with the Oilers?
And it might be a long shot. Might be a long shot.
Theoretically, I think too much is made of that.
Did they not? Where did they trade Zadorov?
They traded him in their division.
Yeah. But Edmonton's different.
I don't think they wanted to, but it was also the best that presented itself in that moment in time to quiet what was a bubbling situation.
Yes. This is a little bit different because Boston can make an... See, if the Oilers don't get... Like, I think Edmonton should be in on Lindholm. I don't know if they're going to get him. I don't actually know if they are in on Lindholm. But if Edmonton can't get him, my hope is he ends up in Boston.
So you want him out of the West, and I understand why, but let me ask you this. Is Lindholm overkill?
For who?
For the Oilers. Is he too much? I'm not to say, like, you can't have too good of a team, but if you're really trying to properly slot out this group...
Well, you tell me.
Someone that's a more traditional 3C, someone that makes sense?
Who would that be?
Well, there's a couple options. You have Sean Monahan,
yeah,
and you have Adam Henrique.
You're going to have to have a second team involved in any sort of Henrique trade to get that price point down from 5.7. He's 5.7, is he?
Well, that's pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily have to if you did something else with Brett Kulak.
Mm-hmm.
And just for perspective, I did have a chance at some point over the last number of weeks to catch up with former Oilers coach Dallas Eakins, who had Henrique in Anaheim.
Yep.
And he couldn't say enough good things about him in terms of his hockey IQ being off the charts, and he said he may not have the foot speed that everyone craves in today's game, but he thinks it at such a high level that he's able to be impactful, and maybe that's exactly the type of person that the Oilers need.
He's just gone in and destroyed the Rangers the last two times he's played them, it's been unreal.
Maybe that's why the Devils would like him back.
I got time for Henrique. The acquisition cost obviously would not be as much. Is that fair?
Yep. And you know what? It's funny. I could tell by your reaction that you didn't seem to be that big of a Monahan fan.
We already discussed Monahan with Mac T. Until last week, he had fewer even strength goals than Sam Carrick from the Anaheim Ducks.
Okay.
I don't know if Monahan...
Don't they all count the same? Are we not... Like, so if you aren't, and rightfully so, Oilers fans aren't going to allow people to make fun of Draisaitl last year for being a power...
Fair comment. Fair comment.
You can't then go criticize Sean Monahan.
No, fair comment.
He still has more points and I believe is closer tied in goals than Lindholm, and he's going to be available for a fraction of the price.
Yep. And there's a lot of guys that have respect for Monahan around the league for what he's been able to overcome and come back.
He's really well liked.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah. Interesting.
Anybody? And you know what? I think part of the name of the game for the Oilers, as aggressive as they're going to be, you might be able to fill multiple positions if you can slice and dice.
All right. What about a guy like Alexander Carrier? Is he? I'm just looking at Barry and Carrier, and I'd have to think since Nashville keeps playing Carrier over Barry, that they're telling us who they like more. Do you think?
Well, either that or they're showcasing him.
Perhaps that's the case. He's not the biggest guy, but he can move the puck. And what do you think of him?
I don't have a big opinion one way or the other. I think the best way to describe Carrier is he's not really bad at anything, but he's not really elite at anything either.
Yeah.
And he's a sort of steady, solid, should be relatively inexpensive second or third pair defenseman.
The Flyers, by the way, Frank Saravalli joining us for the Horses and Horse Race in Alberta for the 7,000 men and women employed in the horse racing industry. Tell me this, Philly has had they had a tough week on a couple different fronts. They've had a tough month on a couple different fronts here. They got a couple pending UFA defensemen. People ask us about them all the time in terms of Sean Walker and Nick Seeler. What are you hearing there?
The Flyers continue to talk to Nick Seeler about an extension. I don't think anything's imminent. They continue to listen to offers. I'm such a big fan of Nick Seeler and his game. I think he's one of those guys that squeezes every drop out of the skill set that he has, and he's a tough, tough guy to play against. But I could also see why teams would say, okay, like, nice player, but we're not giving you a ton for him. And it might make sense for the Flyers to keep him. So they're continuing to engage in those discussions. I think they've probably got 3 or so weeks to figure it out. As for Sean Walker, he has certainly changed opinions around the league this season with his play. He's been very impressive. I would say for a guy that was a salary dump coming over from the Kings, he's given the Flyers a legitimate option to harvest a real asset here. And the thought process is the Flyers are looking for a first round pick in return. That to me feels a bit high. They're right in their own right to ask for it, but I don't know if they're going to get it. As a pending UFA, cap hit 265, he's a nice piece, but he's not, you know, he's one of those guys that's not really going to wow you in any one area.
Yeah, the funny thing is, we have people, the Oilers should go get Walker instead of Cody Ceci.
And I don't know that they're not distinguishable from each other.
I mean, Cody Ceci has been a plus player every year that he's been in Edmonton. He plays 19 minutes a game. And yeah, he doesn't wow you, but he's there and he's steady. And I wonder whether or not maybe there's more of an appreciation, like a guy like Paul Coffey. You know, I don't know. Like, you can't have everything in a cap system. You know what I'm saying, Frank?
I don't know why you would spend an asset on Sean Walker. CeCe, they're within a year old of each other. They make relatively the same money.
Yeah.
I think CeCe actually, when it's all said and done, has better offensive upside. He plays more minutes. You mentioned plus player. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me, but I don't. That's just my opinion.
Are you in Toronto on Friday, or what are you doing?
I am, yeah, going to Toronto on Wednesday.
Well, we'll try to squeeze a call in. I'm going to the Golden Bears in UBC on Friday. It's going to be awesome. Thanks for joining us.
During the skills competition, we'll see what 97 and 29 can cook up.
Awesome stuff, Frank. Thank you for your time.
See you, Bob. Have a good one.
Yep. Frank Cervelli brought to you by Daily Faceoff. Racing returns May 4th. Brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta from Daily Faceoff. Racing horse racing returns on May the 4th at Century Mile Racetrack and Casino. For more information, go to thehorses.com. 6:25 in Edmonton. We'll bang off a couple texts when we return on Oilers Now. Let's go to this text on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Dan from Sangudo says, Bob, I messaged you a few weeks ago and asked you if you thought a 750 percentage hockey team from Knobloch is sustainable, and he's doing even better now. We are in fact watching a once in a lifetime run. Great analysis. Great analysts. I get a chance to cover it too. Cheers to the whole coverage team. That comes to us from Dan from Sangudo. Guess what we're going to do? That's an awesome text. We're entering that text to win in our Text of the Week draw, where winners receive 3 months of washes at my favorite car wash, Great White Car Wash, 10004 169th Street. Stay tuned for the weekly winner every Friday. And with close to 35 years in business, Brent Rich Ford has many long-term loyal customers. If you currently own an F-150, you can get up to $16,000 off a new F-150. If you want to be treated fairly at every aspect of vehicle ownership and get award-winning service, call our friends at Brent Rich Ford, 780-352-6048. Ask for Rich, Johnny, and Uncle Milton Sales, or Kevin, Margie, and Mike in service. Remember, cars cost less in Wetaskiwin. We will tell you, Zach Ferguson and Brendan Escott text me before the 5:30 update, and I didn't actually check my text. Zach, I owe you an apology. Zach Ferguson has global news, weather, and traffic update. When we come back, we'll look up with Colin Chalk down in Bakersfield.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.